I'm Gerard Whateley. Here's a snapshot of Monday, May 16. Essendon was the big issue in the Monday Means Test with David King.
I don't know what's happened. I really don't. And I think they live a lie a little bit, the Bombers. I don't know if their leaders are absolutely honest with the group. It's a warm and fuzzy environment out there internally, and sometimes warm and fuzzy doesn't really thrash out the problems.
And Bomber fans cast their snap judgments.
That effort, if you can even call it effort, was insipid. We got bluffed by the last quarter of last week purely because we smelt blood for the first time all year, and the big boys actually started playing like they were big. And we are missing Tippin Woody and the example he sets with tackling pressure, and we are missing Connor McKenna hugely, that running carry and that ability to take on the game. I don't know what Truck's coaching, but the last quarter of last week when we took on the game, we ran and carried, we kicked the footy long. We weren't handballing. We don't have a handball game. We're trying to have a handball game, but we just don't have it. If you're going to play tight handball football, you've got to be able to contest the ball when it goes into contest, which it will. Guys are going to be under pressure when you're handballing in the hard stuff, and we just don't lay tackles. And Dylan Shield, I've not been a fan since he came on board. We're recruiting guys who are all the same. We're recruiting prototype footballers, all 6 foot tall and about 82 kilos, and you know, you can only have so many Dyson Heppels and Jordan Ridleys in the side. You need to have guys who will work at the coalface. And the blokes that we thought we were getting to work at the coalface are proving to not be as hard as maybe what we thought we recruited. I think Dylan Shield was made to look like a lot better footballer by Canelio and the guys that were around him when he was at GWS. And I think we really are, and it's horrible to say, as the team that was involved in the Marshmallow game with North Melbourne, we are soft at the football, and it's pathetic.
Kingy is forecasting good things ahead for Carlton.
It's working, and it's working big. And, you know, this is what we talk about, structure a lot. This is how we play. This is who we are. You do this, simple roles. You do this, you do this. And then you play my plan. That's all Vossie said to him. I still think he's 30% into his coaching with this group. So next year is the year. But how good is this year looking? You know, they're setting some standards that are going to last for some time.
Robert Craddock reflected on the life of Andrew Simons.
Money meant nothing to him, mate. All he wanted was his tinny, which he had. He had his fishing rod, his crab pots in Townsville. He'd write the tide times on his window in the car, and he'd just look it up. And he had his dogs, and they were there for him at the very end. And Matthew Hayden said to me last night from India, he said the very fact that his pet Kelpies were milling around Andrew after he had passed and were very concerned and were even nipping at the heels of rescue workers, Haydos said, mate, you know what I am? I'm one of them. I'm one of his pet dogs in spirit. Like, you know, you feel that loyalty to him, that unyielding sort of faith in an old mate. So, you know, and Jared, we have to be honest here. Most of the journos over the time had big blues with Andrew. He was volatile and all that. But we were always acutely aware that those guys in the dressing room, Gilchrist, Ponting, Hussey, Hayden, would always have his back and say to you, mate, I know he has his funny spots, Roy, but he's a good guy, you know? And they didn't say that about everyone. Yeah. So that convinced us that he was a man of fibre. But he was better with adults than he was with children. With children than he was with adults. He loved kids because he felt he could look into their eyes and trust them. Whereas adults had to earn his trust, and some never did. And if you were his captain and he didn't trust you, he didn't do his best. Like, he just couldn't, the flame wouldn't flicker up.
And Crash shared his view of Brendan McCullum's appointment as England's test coach.
I love the high-risk excitement fact of it. They could have gone steady Eddie Gary Kirsten from South Africa, who would have rebuilt the system brick by brick with a little, you know, and just slowly, painstakingly. Baz McCullum has only been a white ball coach in the Indian Premier League, but they love the fact that he can just lift a player by letting go of the ball and chain of anxiety that they travel around with and say, let's just forget about all the pressure and go back to play how we played when we were 9 years old. It worked with New Zealand. It liberated them. They had a horrible day when they were bowled out for 40 against South Africa. And he said, we're trying to be something we're not. And let's just go back. And who cares about losing? Now, you can do that with New Zealand because they don't have the forensic focus of England. I hope it works. He's a good guy. It's snatching at a dream, Jared, But what I did agree with Michael Vaughan in that sometimes you've just got to eat your beans and potatoes before you eat your pavlova.
Yep.
Vaughan doesn't reckon this team is good enough to play dreamy, entertaining cricket. He said it's got to be one brick at a time. So they're going to be fun. The first test is against New Zealand, if you don't mind.
Yes.
His liaison with Ben Stokes, the captain, is interesting. Stokes, of course, his parents are from New Zealand. So there's the link right there. But they've got very similar philosophies, gung-ho. But it's a big gamble. It is a significant gamble.
And that's just a snapshot. The full program and all interviews are available through the Waitley podcast. Subscribe at sen.com.au.